Welcome to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's podcast for innovative entrepreneurs and executives. And brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. Here is your host, Robert Gold.
Once again, from high atop the Business Cast Podcast Center, Toronto, live and in the morning, we're way off to the west. I can see Harry Hills, Alberta. I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Bennett Gold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. And this podcast is produced in partnership with Profit Magazine and ProfitGuide.com. Today, we're going to have some fun. Marianne Katzman and Dario Del Deegan are with us. Marianne is a director. Dario is a partner. Katzman Contemporary. It's a gallery in Toronto. Marianne, Dario, welcome to the Profit Business Cast.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to have you. We don't often get husband-wife teams on the Profit Business Cast, and being in a competitive industry like a gallery, especially in a tight, tight market like Toronto, I'm excited to see where this conversation goes and what the pitfalls and the advantages are. But let's step back a bit. Why don't you each tell us a little bit about yourselves? Let's start with Marianne and then how you came to be partners in Katzman Contemporary.
Okay, I'll give you a quick background on who I am, where I'm from, and what got me and us here. After graduating at a very small sort of Monpah art gallery on Yonge Street at Yonge and Eglinton, I learned every single aspect of running an art gallery, from hanging the show, literally, to all of the accounting, the bills, the ordering of all the supplies, everything from top to bottom. Following that, I went to the corporate world, where I chose and managed and consulted on artwork for corporate hospitality, but I was really choosing lower-end items in a larger quantity sort of idea. At that point, I really felt like I could stay there and sell my soul or, you know, go to a place where, you know, I'm getting back to real art and to the finer art of things. And that's where I met Leo Kamen and began working with him at his place called Leo Kamen Gallery. This was the epitome of where I thought Canadian art thrived. He was part of the community, he was part of the language and the history of what was happening currently. It was a long process where I learned every single aspect of what he did, but then there was an opportunity where Dario and I could go to China. We left everything and decided to do that. Dario, I don't know if you want to jump in at this point.
In terms of our trip to China, we had this opportunity to go and work in a culture and communications firm. It was a boutique little Canadian firm run out of Shanghai by a friend of mine, and we did everything from events to marketing as well as film and television production. So it was a very exciting time, and it was an opportunity to go and work abroad and be in a vibrant economy that was growing at that time, and it just was a very exciting experience. However, and then Marianne can take over.
Right. Who doesn't want to have an opportunity to live somewhere foreign for a while? So we absolutely couldn't turn down that opportunity. But while we were there, Leo came in, decided to retire. And at that point, he offered for me to take over the business. Owning my own gallery, it was this opportunity I could not refuse. I just felt like this was a huge fast track. This was not starting from ground zero. This was starting with a business that already has a 30-year history. I would be taking over not only his roster of artists, but his roster of clients. It was a massive opportunity. So we immediately came back, and the dream was to bring culture to people's lives. It was supporting and nurturing artists' careers, and it was about raising the caliber of Canadian art and artists.
So let me get this straight, Marianne. Come back to China, have this great opportunity. How did you and your husband end up being partners in this venture? Because you were on somewhat disparate paths before that.
Okay, actually, yes, this does tie into my part of the anecdote or the story. My background actually is in academia. I was working on a PhD in theater, actually, and that's my particular passion and background in the arts. But already when I was working on my dissertation, the visual art was starting to come into that bit of my research, so I was starting to become aware of what the visual art world was like. After about 10 to 12 years in sessional teaching in academia in Toronto, the China opportunity was one that I really wanted to take to get out of academia. I was not teaching in my field, and being in the sessional world of academia is not a very pleasant one, and that was eating my soul, and that's what took us to China in the first place, because when that opportunity came up. When we returned to Canada, I did go back to a little bit of teaching temporarily to help with the finances in our our household. But soon after that, in 2013, the gallery had to move from our original location at 80 Spadina, and we decided to buy a property. And with the investment in this property, I decided that the gallery needed a little more help after we had a couple of assistants who weren't really helping Marianne grow. And we also had a child at the same time. So this pressure to help the business grow and have our investment in the property be worthwhile prompted me to leave academia altogether and join Marianne full-time.
So making a decision to go into this business is not easy. I'm really curious as to the homework you did and the research you did before you decided that this was the right time to open your own gallery. And I understand that certain opportunities presented themselves, but let's talk about how you looked at the market before you hit the commit button.
Ultimately, I think it was a right place at the right time idea. I think that I had an understanding about the workings of a gallery from all of my experience and waited until the opportunity came up. This was not coming in at ground zero. This was coming in at an established gallery, and it was an opportunity that could not be passed.
Now, if you chose not to pick up this opportunity, would somebody else have come in, steamrolled the opportunity, and made it their own?
If we did not come back and take over this opportunity, Leo would have retired, and the artists would have dispersed.
So it would have been the end. The gallery business in Toronto is known to be really cutthroat. We've worked in our CA firm at Benegold with a number of artists of different milieus. How do you differentiate yourself in a gallery when there's so many galleries and so many artists and so many people that are good, bad, and ugly in this industry here?
That is the toughest hurdle that we face daily. What you have to do in order to survive in this business is to be a unique brand, to know exactly who you are and to know what you're doing. And how we do that is by the idea that no idea exists in a vacuum or a white box. We connect ideas outside. We connect things that naturally connect to each other. Each exhibition that we have, it's the connection between an artist and another idea, an artist and the space, or an artist and the greater community. The visual experience is a connected thing, and that's the most important part of what we do.
So if you're saying that if I go to another gallery and they don't approach it the same way, I may not necessarily see the connection between the art, the environment, other artists.
You ultimately will see a connection with your own life and what you make connections with. But what we're doing is taking an idea and giving you a suggestion of a way to read it. It's a contextualization.
It's a contextualization. Okay, help me with that just a little bit more because I want to explore niche businesses. So let's just explore contextualization a little bit vis-a-vis galleries.
Because the art gallery business is a niche market, one of the things that we are trying to do as a gallery is to be much more approachable and have an open doors policy with the visitors who come through. And in part, that means maintaining a friendly disposition when people walk through the door to make them feel comfortable. Because in our industry, sometimes there can be an intimidation factor for someone who's not very well versed in the art world. And so what we really try to do is make visitors feel comfortable and to try and break down that high art perception that can be placed out there by other galleries in this industry.
So let's step back a little bit now, get away from the gallery for a minute, and talk about other niche businesses. And Dario, I'd like you to address this, because I know you come from an academic background, which means that you look at things a little bit differently than Marianne, and maybe even I do. But when you think about other niche businesses, are there three things that come to your mind if you try to assess that those businesses may, in fact, be successful?
Certainly. And this comes from my background in teaching public relations and marketing for a little while. Aside from doing your standard press releases and disseminating information about what it is that you do, I would argue that in a niche business, one of your strengths is to stand out as being unique in some way so that you can differentiate yourself from your competitors or from your other colleagues. And what does that mean? Partly it means identifying who your audience is and identifying that particular niche and then promoting it as far and wide as possible. Another component that I would say is essential to being successful as a niche business is staying power. You have to consider the investment of time over a long period and having the resources there to cover you for that long period until you can build your reputation to such a point where people are coming to you. The third one, it's a little bit more in terms of the art world itself. It's making people realize the value of what art brings to your life and your home when you engage with it. It is about introducing people to the contemporary art world, which can be a little bit confusing and intimidating because we're dealing with artists who are on the cutting edge of ideas and representation. So these are new ideas, and it takes a little bit of time before people absorb them and understand them.
It's a bit of an esoteric issue, and I wonder if we can take that esoteria away from the galleries and put it into another business, another perspective on making people realize the esoteric, in fact, can be commonplace and improve their life.
Well, in that respect, again, I would say the standing out factor is what needs to be recognized. I can give you just a quick example, totally opposite to what we're talking about, but we were in the market for purchasing a new automobile. And there were three particular requirements that I had, and it was very difficult to find because the manufacturers were not accommodating those particular needs combined together for what I was looking for. Again, if you recognize your audience, you recognize what they want, and if you can actually then communicate with them about what you do, you will stand out and be recognized.
Okay, Marianne, I'm curious from your perspective, as a married couple in business together, what is your number one advantage over other business owners, other partnerships?
We are always thinking and on about our business. It's eat, sleep, breathe, our business. We're always completely in the same place at the same time. We're really there for each other. We support each other. We have completely different skill sets that complement each other. I think ultimately we are a well-oiled machine when it comes to working together.
Jerry, have you got anything to add to that?
Constant negotiation. And the other benefit to working together is that we can spot each other, even just with family issues, such as taking care of our daughter and those kinds of arrangements, as well as traveling to the same space and working in the same space. It's a constant negotiation, but we help each other all the time.
Well, I certainly like that constant negotiation because every business, every venture with partnerships, employees, customers, and suppliers, it's constant negotiation. So I imagine you are very tuned to it. Dario, I want to get your perspective on this question. What's the number one disadvantage you face being a couple in business together?
Well, in the sense that we're always thinking about the art, about the business, and being on all the time, it's very difficult to actually be able to get the headspace away from work and to be able to take some downtime to relax and to let your creative ideas come back to you. So that would be one area that I would say is a little bit of a drawback. Secondly, there's also the financial stresses. Now, all of our entire income is coming from one source, and we have to be very diligent and careful about that.
Marianne, would you add to that?
Ultimately, the hugest difficulty is keeping our business and personal life separate. We have to have a large amount of willpower and discipline in order to keep them separate because you're always wanting to talk about things, and you really give yourself a disadvantage if you do that, if you don't take the downtime and the headspace away. We've really been very diligent about turning off.
I can't imagine how you, in fact, turn off. So tell us how you turn off
the business. It's a rule. We leave the gallery and I say, no talking about work.
Fair enough. And no more constant negotiation.
Right. Only fighting about the house. No fighting about the gallery.
Finally, the two of you, I'm curious that the three things that you would share with other entrepreneurs considering opening their own niche business in a crowded market. Marianne, what would the first thing come to your mind?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is to be prepared to live, eat, breathe, sleep your business. That it's your entire world that you don't turn off.
Dario, what do you say?
Along with distinguishing yourself as a unique business in a niche market, I would also add that building a network of strong connections of people who are committed to your work and can support your work would be definitely an asset.
And Marianne, final thought to you as to what people should consider, what an entrepreneur should consider anywhere in the country, any niche business, crowded market.
Consider your safety net. If you don't have the funds backing you, if you don't have the nest egg, if you don't have a private person, you need to have clients who believe in you, who will back you, who will be there for you. That's the only way that we've survived, is to have people who believe in us, who support us, who will be there in our time of need.
Well, I believe that you're our first married couple on the Profit Business Cast after 8 years of broadcasting. So well done. It's Katzman, K-A-T-Z-M-A-N, KatzmanContemporary.com. Marianne, Dario, thank you for being guests on the Profit Business Cast.
Our pleasure. Thank you so much for having us.
It was a wonderful discussion.
It was. Constant negotiation. And until next time, I'm Robert Gold, Managing Partner of Benegold LLP, Chartered Accountants in Toronto. If you know what a great CA firm can do for your business, if you want to learn how to constantly negotiate, reach out to us and check us out at benegold.ca. You can find other great episodes of the Profit Business Cast at profitguide.com. See you next time in the morning, everyone, and good night. Harry Hills, Alberta.
You've been listening to the Profit Business Cast, Canada's business podcast, and brought to you by Bennett Gold LLP Chartered Accountants. From acceleration to succession, strategy to tax planning, there's a lot more through the door at bennettgold.ca.